You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
Brevard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
Every time outside of my will, something happens to stop me from moving, I say, Lord, I thank you. Maybe you're keeping me from harm's way. I missed my plane. Lord, thank you. Instead of crying about it and talking about what I can't handle, maybe God kept you alive. Something broke down in my life. Well, maybe God didn't want you on the road. Don't be afraid of divine interruption. If I can but touch his clothes, I will be made whole.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Kingdom Authority Over Death and Disease. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Mark chapter 5, verses 17 through 24.
The Bible says Jesus went with him. Now, many of us, we see how God goes with us, or we are supposed to go with God. But in this scene, Jesus goes with the man. And this is what I want to share with you. Have you ever looked over your shoulder to see if Jesus is going with you? Have you ever done this? Are you there, Lord? Now, we always know Jesus is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But his anointing don't have to go. It's called manifested presence. He's always there, but he doesn't have to let his anointing go. The Bible says he went with Jairus. The Bible says, and he followed him. A multitude followed him and pressed him. In other words, he's in the midst of a crowd. While there on his way to Jairus' house, the scripture says a woman had an issue of blood. She had an issue of blood. She looked at him going to somebody else's home, but she said, he's too close to me for me to just say, I'll stand in line. Do I have any desperate people in the house? I'm talking about people that's tired of having this trail of blood. I was telling the early church that's very important for us to get rid of issues of blood. Because if you ever want to survive in the wilderness, and I'm just pulling back some of my Marine Corps days, you got to learn how to deal with blood. If you ever cut yourself in a wilderness or in a forest and you don't know your way, take off any clothing that you had where the blood stained it. You either need to burn it or you need to bury it and get away from the clothes as far as you can, as quick as you can. Because blood has a scent. You have to even be careful in water. Because if you bleed in water for several miles, predators can smell it. They can pick up the blood. It has a scent. God told Moses that life is in the blood. Glory to God. The best part of you is not what we see. The best part of you, many of us spend money because we look in mirrors, but the best part of you is your blood. Life is not in your face. Oh my God. If air were to take in or blood was out of you, or if you were leaking blood, life would leave you because the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why God required his son to release blood. Glory to God. So life will be extended to us. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Well, our sins were so bad that God had to rebuke and to bruise his only son and cause the best of him to drain out, because life is in the blood. Sharks can smell your life, and predators can smell your life when you leak. Thank you, Lord. This is why if you're going to survive in a wilderness, you got to be able to bundle up your blood. Put it in the ground and bury it deep and then get away from it. A lot of people like to go and tell people what they came out of. And I used to do this and do that, but you don't know. If you don't get healed from it, wherever you go is a trail. And no matter where you live around the world, you will attract the same kinds of predators. In the natural, you look up, if you're not careful, and you'll see a mountain lion just looking at you. Or you'll see wolves. Not dogs, I said wolves. They don't play like dogs. They can stay on your trail for 30 miles. You can't run out away from a wolf. Or even worse, a grizzly bear will show up. I'm talking about the one that can eat you. Personally, I saw a man that was eaten by a grizzly bear. And he ate his leg like a chicken, a drumstick. So think about your leg looking like a drumstick that was eaten. There's no flesh, you just see the bone. That's what the grizzly did to the man. And it's because he was bleeding and he didn't fix the blood. And I'm saying to you all that are wounded by the world, why would you go back into the world for your sustenance? You don't understand you're going to attract predators when God wants you to be healed completely. So no predator can track you as you move into your future. The woman had an issue of blood and interrupted Jesus' plans. Let me talk about divine interruptions. Sometimes we don't know why we end up here. We don't know why our car got stuck. We don't know why. Wow, I may have been here when I was young, and all of a sudden I come by this building. I remember this place. Yes. And then a situation occurs where my car gets stuck. And I find myself walking to the building. And my plans were interrupted. Well, God wants to fix the issue that's been following you for the majority of your life. Glory to God. I speak prophetically, but I also speak out of knowledge. God interrupts plans. Glory to God. Jairus was there first, and he asked Jesus to come to his house, and he even humbled himself and bowed and begged. And Jesus is going with him. But while he's on his way, there's a divine interruption. A woman said, I can't wait. I need you now. If you don't move, I'm afraid that the next pint that I lose is going to stop my heart from beating. I need you to move now and dry up this issue that I have. And so the Bible says she touched him. You can see it in the 5th chapter. She touched him and he felt virtue leave his body. All of these people are thronging him, and the scriptures, he said, who touched me? His disciples said, what do you mean? Who touched you? He said, but you don't understand. Somebody touched me, and they had a need, and they matched it with faith. And I felt virtue. I felt healing leave me and touch whoever this person that had a need. And I want to say to those of you that are in the room today, if you have a need, don't look to the crowd to feel the need. Don't look to people to feel the need. Press your way in and touch his garment. You can even touch what's hanging off of it. He's got enough anointing in that which is hanging off of him to deliver your life and to set you free. My God, hallelujah. That woman touched the hem of his garment. Ah! And the plague was dried up. Even at that moment. I got a lot of people in the crowd, they won't press. In the crowd, you get used to being in the crowd. And say, why me? Why me? Why me, Bishop? Why again? Man, get yourself together and get your eye on Jesus and press toward him. You're in the crowd. You're reaching for things that man can do, but man can't help you right now. You need to get to Jesus. The woman said, I got everything working against me to keep me from Jesus. I got an issue of blood. And based on the righteous law of Moses, if I have an issue of blood, I'm not supposed to be in a crowd. If blood has come from the law of Moses, which is righteous, I must be outside of the camp and wait until the issue is resolved. I'm unclean and I have to stay outside of the camp lest they pick up stones and kill me. That's how severe the law was for this woman that had an issue. But she decided to put it all on the line and interrupted the master. Let me tell you something. Your need and your faith will interrupt the master. And he released virtue to the woman. And the Bible says immediately her issue was dried up. In other words, the trail stopped. No predator can track her anymore. Yesterday has come to an end, and every step now, it's a brand new future. Don't be afraid of divine interruptions. Every time outside of my will, something happens to stop me from moving, I say, Lord, I thank you. Maybe you're keeping me from harm's way. I missed my plank. Lord, thank you. Instead of crying about it and talking about what I can't handle, maybe God kept you alive. Something broke down in my life. Well, maybe God didn't want you on the road. Don't be afraid of divine interruptions. If I can but touch his clothes, I will be made whole. For her, it was a miracle. But for Jairus' daughter, she moved from bad to worse. And some of us don't understand. God allows some of us, hallelujah, for his glory. I don't know why he does it. We suffer long. Everybody seems to be getting theirs. And we watch it happen. But we have to wait on ours. I'm still trying to understand it, because Jesus could have stretched his hand or sent a word. Jairus asked him first. But while he's on his way, a woman stopped him, touched the hem of his garment, and he begins to have dialogue with her while the man's daughter is still sick. I wonder what Jairus is saying. I wonder what we would say if we were in that boat. Lord, I call your name. I've been there. I paid my tithes. I don't see you moving. You stop. And you taking care of them? I thought you loved me. My situation is not just an issue. My little girl is almost dead. And you went with me and then you stopped. And I'm telling you, there are times where I feel like the Lord has been with me. Then I felt like he stopped. I'm just being honest with you. I felt like he was with me, and then I feel all of a sudden that he's arrested. Maybe he's taking care of somebody else. I know he didn't forget about me, but I'm talking about that space between the time in which he said, I'm with you, and the time in which it looks like he stopped. What do you do? My point is, do not be afraid of divine interruptions. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came forth from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" I want you to look at this now. While Jesus is arrested dealing with the woman's issue, Jairus is standing there, somebody from his house. He's a ruler. He has authority. He ain't somebody just hanging out with everybody. He rules. He can say, "Move, go, this is how it's going to be," and it's done. Yet Jesus lingers. While he's talking, Jesus is talking to the woman that had the issue that's healed and everybody around. Somebody comes and say, "Don't trouble him no more because she died." It gets from bad to worse. Don't trouble the teacher any further. And I hear the enemy speaking in the ears saying, "Don't trouble God with that. Don't trouble the teacher any further with that. That's done, dead." Look at the word, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, as he heard them say, "Don't trouble the teacher." Look what God says to the ruler of the synagogue. "Do not be afraid." Only what?
Believe.
Only believe. And I'm saying to many of you that may have heard, "Don't worry about it, it's dead." I would say to you what the Lord is saying. Do not be afraid. Don't let this kill your faith now. Only what?
Believe.
Only believe. Then look what Jesus does. He prevented no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. In other words, he said, "For me to do what I'm about to do, the crowd can't come." Now, some of us are crowd fixed. In other words, if the crowd agrees, we okay. But you got to move beyond. God don't take the crowd in some miracles. He isolates. He eliminates a lot of people. Even 9 of the 12 didn't go. The multitude certainly couldn't go into the man's house. He permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogues and saw a tumult and those who wept, the Bible says, and wailed loudly. So there's a lot of crying going on. Notice what he does. When he comes in, he said to them, "Why make the commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Now, one of the worst things from our grief share ministry, you can tell anybody, stop grieving. But God don't care about our training. He can do what he wills. And for God to raise something up, you got to stop the commotion. "Ow! Ow! I'm done! Ow!" No, you can't do that. That's not faith. That's fear. And what God is trying to do is get us beyond these emotional outbursts to where we're focused on him. God can do anything. Touch your neighbor and say, "My God can do anything." Right. My God can do anything. My God can do anything. Anything but fail. Oh, my God. My leader used to say, "My God can do anything. My God can do anything. My God can do anything. Anything but fail." My lady used to say, he scooped the world. He made the world out of nothing. And he scooped out the deep blue sea. My God can do anything, anything but fail. Help me sing it. My God can do anything. My God can do anything. My God can do anything. Anything but fail. If you believe it, put those hands together and say, my God can do anything. My God can heal her. My God can raise it. My God can fix it. My God can shift it. My God can turn it around. When Jesus says she's just sleeping, the Bible says, and they ridiculed him. That's why some people can't come in a room when a miracle is getting ready to be done. They will take what he says. She's not dead, she's sleeping. He's already preparing the atmosphere of faith. You're seeing a final product, but God says, I can shift this thing. Notice what he does. And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside. See, and this is the problem with the modern church. Sometimes if you don't got faith, God don't coddle that. God said, get out. If I came to your house and there was a situation and everybody, I said, get out. I need people that got faith up in here to believe that God can do anything. Now, you may get your feelings hurt if you want to get, if you really want a deliverance, you got to be able to take the get out from God. Because sometimes God says, get out before you can come in. Look at the word. They ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, Peter, James, and John. Then he entered into, there's five with him. He entered into where the child was laying. She's still and she can't move, but what does he say? He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, Talitha Kumi, which is translated little girl. I say to you, arise. And I want to speak to the little girl that's in the room. That the enemy tried to kill you when you were 12 years old. I need to speak to the little girl. Talitha Kumi, stand up, girl. Get your bearing under your body and stand tall now. What the enemy meant for evil, God didn't allow him to kill you. You have your whole life ahead of you. Ooh, Jesus. He took the father and the mother, took the girl by the hand, and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated little girl or daughter, I say to you, arise. Look what happens immediately. The girl arose. The Bible say, then she walked. For she was 12 years old. And they were overcome with great amazement. But notice what Jesus said. He commanded them strictly that no one should know it and said to that something should be given to her to eat. This is amazing to me. First thing, we ain't gonna have no party. Everybody, come on, Trey Song. Everybody can't handle miracles. Yeah. everybody can't handle God. Some of us want everybody to see everything that you do is on Facebook. Everything you get up and say, it's all on Facebook. You got to learn how to wait on the Lord and watch what you expose to the world. He said, don't tell nobody. Now I'm preaching to a generation that don't want nobody in their business, but you put everything. I'm mad today. I want to kill something. They better not mess with me. They better not come for me today. Why are you on Facebook with a bullhorn? People laugh at, real people, they laugh at that foolishness. They use it for amusement.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Kingdom Authority Over Death and Disease, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Attention high school seniors, apply now for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship and take your first step towards higher education. Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated inspires a passion for aviation through STEM and STEAM programs. Don't miss out. Applications are due by Monday, January 27th and are available at the communication and promotion counter. For questions, contact Elder Toby Hobart at 321-305-9831. Seize this opportunity for your future. Youth Church is in full swing. Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. And men, it is time to register for Legatus, the 2025 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app or website to register for this action-packed event. Take advantage of the combo package and remember to order your conference t-shirt and polo.
Baby dedication is scheduled for Sunday, December 29th at the 8 a.m. service. Forms are due by Sunday, December 15th.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
And now